This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
If your heart's still warm from that time of worship, let's just give the Lord a thank offering. God is so good. Have some guests visiting us from the community. Sam and gentlemen, would you all stand up and let's give them a rambunctious welcome today. How many came to homecoming last week and heard this gentleman speak? Bill Harding. He was the alumnus of the year. Did you hear him? Was that not strong? That was, you know, it mentioned in the video about him, 40 years ministering in Ethiopia, over a year, under house arrest, and then it showed 20,000 Ethiopians coming to honor him as they named a school after him. But one thing that went unmentioned, when he was a young student here, an upperclassman, still young, he was pastoring a local church, and a young 18-year-old named Elmer Towns came to the church service, and Elmer invited Jesus to come into his heart. Elmer came to school here. He's also one of our alums, and he went on to co-found Liberty University. Is that not amazing? Let me ask you something. Would you like God to use you so one day you can look back and say, God used me 40 years among this certain group of people, whether it's over there or over here? Or to look back and say, I cannot believe 20,000 people showed up to honor me because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit through my life, through your life that touched them. Or to have a school named after you. You know, Columbia Joshua University. I mean, you know, we could change the name. Or just to lead one person to Christ who went on to found a sister Christian university that's impacted tens of thousands of people. Do you want God to use you like that? Do you? Then we have to let God prepare us. We must be prepared. We're in this series on six leadership lessons on David, and our theme verse is in Acts chapter 13, verse 36, that David served the purpose of God in his generation. And our first leadership lesson was based on 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is where Saul anoints or chooses, selects David for David's future leadership in the country of Israel. And we said this is our lesson. Qualifications for spiritual leadership are determined by what's on the inside, not so much what's on the outside. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God, he looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Today we're going to look at how God prepares us. And he uses our present problems to prepare us for future service. So let's take a different take on the problems in our life right now. As you're serving a local church, as you're serving here on campus, as you're serving in your family, I want you to understand that the challenges you face are not so much a frustration for today, but a preparation for tomorrow. And we get this from the passage in 1 Samuel chapter 17. So if you can be turning there in your Bibles or scrolling there in your phones, 1 Samuel chapter 17, it's the story about David and Goliath. So if you're there, let's just read through the passage. It's a familiar passage because we, every year as a kid in Vacation Bible School, you at least got one David and Goliath story. It says, now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. And let's just so you can kind of follow this. Here we're looking east, all right? We're looking from the west toward the east. Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they gathered at Soko. Now that was, which says belongs to Judah. And they camped between Soko and Azekah in Ephesdamon. Now, by the way, Dr. Beyer pointed this out to me. I'm very grateful that Azekah at this point also belongs to Judah. So they've passed Azekah. They're right between Azekah and Soko. So they are marching through this valley toward the people of Israel. Saul and his men of Israel gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on one mountain, while the Israelites stood on the other mountain with the valley in between them. So if they make it past this, then they're not far from Hebron, from Bethlehem, from Jerusalem. They can begin to overrun Judah. We get to verse 4. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath. So we found a picture of Goliath from the library. His height was 6 cubits. Now a cubit was from the elbow to the tip of this middle finger, about 18 inches. So 6 cubits in one span. A span's from the thumb to the finger. And this morning I was going, that doesn't seem right, but it works out just about right. So go ahead and try it out. And he had, well, verse 5 says he has all this armor, and it weighs about 125 pounds. And he had bronze shin guards on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. It was about 2.5 inches in diameter. The head of the spear weighed 600 shekels, or about 15 pounds. Now, I got stuck on that verse for a while. I said, that is one big spear. So I asked Physical Plant to make me one like that. Now, I want to illustrate something. Who's the biggest guy on the basketball team? All right, Devin, come here, please. All right, now, Devin, by the way, tonight, 5:30, opening game for the women's basketball team. 7:30, opening game for the men's basketball team. All right, Devin, I want you down there, son. Look you in the eye. And it's a whiteout. We're going to pass out white towels, but dress in white, okay? So it'll be a fun time. Now, Devin, this is a spear, and they got it to weigh 15 pounds. Now, do you want to make $100 this morning? Yes. Okay. All right, stand right over there. Now, Devin, if you can hit me in the chest with that spear, I'll give you $100. Now, however, if you miss, you give me $100. Are you ready? Just don't hit my sweetheart, or you owe me millions. All right, wait. You got your $100? Hey, look, chapel ends at 11:45. Now, there's a funeral at 2 o'clock, and you're in big trouble. It may be a double burial, so I want you to donate the $100 to a scholarship fund my wife and I have, and I will be watching the deposits. Now, Devin, stand up. Devin, stand up. How much do you owe me? Okay, very good. All right. Now, so it goes, so, thank you, Devin. He was trying to avoid my wife. That's why he erred so much to the right. Now, here's the thing. This is just of interest to me. I don't know about you, but you see Goliath up here, he's not throwing a spear. He's throwing the javelin. The javelins were for throwing. There's no way you can hit any, I mean, especially little bitty David. I mean, he's probably running around like this. He's like, be still. The javelin was for throwing. The spears were for thrusting. So they had this big spear, but they also had a javelin. Well, he starts trash talking. He says, look, you guys pick one of your folks and come fight me, and the winner takes all. Well, now it kind of changes scenes. Verse 12. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse. And we saw this in a previous chapel. But I notice here it says, and Jesse, in this passage, it says, and Jesse was old in the days of Saul, advanced in years. So I had to research a more accurate picture. So this is Jesse and Mrs. Jesse when he's older. This is verse 13. And the three older sons of Jesse, remember these guys, Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah, they're out fighting the battle. And so Jesse says to his son, verse 17, now I want you to take for your brothers an ephah of roasted grain. And I said, how much is that? Well, it's about 6 gallons. And this is a 5-gallon bucket. So it's he's carrying around this little white bucket, you know, and to his brothers. And he's carrying some loaves of bread. And he's carrying some cheese for the commander. So he arrives at the scene. So verse 20. So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with the keeper and took the supplies, the food. Thursday, by the way, is the soccer team's last game, so we need to all show up for that as well, Thursday evening. All right, so David shows up, and he hears all this trash talking, and so David, look at verse 25. So verse 24, so all the men of Israel saw the man. They fled from him, for they were greatly afraid. This is Goliath. And then verse 26, David spoke to the men who were standing by, and he says, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? We get down to verse 31. So apparently, David's saying, look, this guy, it's not us he's attacking. He's taunting our God. We don't have to be afraid. Let's go get him. You go get him. Well, all right, I'll go get him. So when the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for David. And David said to Saul, verse 32, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he's been a warrior from his youth. And besides, your face scroll picture, you're carrying a little stuffed lamb. I mean, come on now, you're going to go fight this big guy, Goliath? And here's his response. But David said to Saul, verse 34, your servant, speaking of himself, was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, since he's taunted the armies of God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And David said to him, go, and may God be with you. But then he says, you know, you can't go without any armor. So in verse 38, Saul clothed David with his garments and put on a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with armor. And David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, but he had not tested them. He says, I can't go with these. I haven't tested them. So David took them off. Verse 40. So he takes his stick in his hand and chooses for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. So when we get to verse 41, there's some trash talking that goes on between the two of them, between Goliath and David. And verse 44, the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh, and here we have them in action here, I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. So here, translation, you little runt, I'm going to snuff you out, and all the animals will come clean up what's left over. You're just going to be this little greasy spot on the dirt. But now David, remember, he had 7 older brothers, so he can hold his own. So he says, listen, verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you, big guy, into my hands, and I will give the dead bodies, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the whole army. You think you're going to mess with me? Look, I'm not going to take you. I'm going to take the entire Philistine army. So verse 48, then it happened that Philistine rose and came near, drew near to David, and David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took it from the stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine right in the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead so that he fell his face on the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine. Verse 51, David ran, stood over the Philistine, took a sword, Goliath's sword, drew it from its sheath, killed Goliath, cut off his head. The Philistines saw their champion was dead, and they fled. Verse 52, my favorite verse. The men of Israel and Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines, just like this, as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron. All right, that's the story. Now, remember our leadership lesson. Problems are preparation for the future, not just frustration in the present. Now think about it. Think about this question. Let's put this next slide up. Let's go back to Goliath. What prepared David to take on Goliath? Do you remember? Verse 37? The bear and the lion. Now, I was thinking about that. You can imagine that day. David looks out on his flock, and here comes this monster bear. And he's thinking, oh, day is not starting off very well. Not realizing that one day down the road, he was going to have a Goliath much bigger than the bear. Or then maybe a few weeks later, the lion comes. He's going, I just don't know if these sheep are worth it. But David goes and he defeats both the lion, he defeats the bear, and it's preparing him for Goliath. So I'm going to think, well, what prepared David for the bear and for the lion? Well, he was the youngest of eight brothers. Now, any of you younger brothers in here? Were there times you thought, I'll never survive? Now, I was the oldest in my family, but my cousin, his mother and father died from alcoholism, so he came to live with us, and he was 8 years older than I, still is actually, and there were times I didn't think I'd survive. I remember one time we were playing darts, and being 8 years younger, he was about 16, she was maybe 17, I was about 8 or 9, and I beat him in darts, and he got frustrated, so he started throwing the darts at my feet. It was the summertime, I was barefooted, and I'd back up and back up. Finally said, I'm not moving this time. And he threw it, hit me right in the toe. It didn't really hurt. I looked down and said, you've messed up now. So I hobbled, because I didn't want it to fall out of my toe. I hobbled to my parents, and when I got to them, I started screaming and hollering. I said, Jimmy threw a dart and it's killing my foot. You need to do something about it. So when they ran out to go stoning, I went in the bathroom and got in the tub and took my toe and tried to squeeze it like a bottle of ketchup, and I was putting the blood all over the tub, trying to look like I was just bleeding to death. I mean, younger brothers, to survive, to live to adulthood, you learn how to defend yourself. So growing up with seven other brothers, preparing for the lion and the bear, that's no big deal. You get over the lion and the bear, Goliath, it's no big deal. But listen, there were four other guys who defeated giants. But David, he goes on. We'll find this spring semester. He defeats as king the surrounding nations, not just the Philistines in the west, but the Amalekites in the south, Arameans in the north, the Ammonites, the Moabites in the east. All right, so how do we apply this? If you and I want to serve the purpose of God in this generation, how do we apply this to our lives? Like David, today's problems in our lives teach us three things. So I want you to go back and look at verses 45 through 47, please. It says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin.'" And by the way, throw your javelin, thrust with your spear. Otherwise, you'll destroy all kinds of flowers. I think I'm in big trouble about this. So, Devin, I think you owe me $200. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've taunted." Listen to this next verse, verse 46. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you." Who will deliver me? The Lord. "That all the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver with sword or by spear. The whole battle is the Lord's. He will deliver you or give you into my hands." If you're going to be used by God, you have to be used by God. That seems so simple. You and I cannot accomplish eternal results. Only the Spirit of God working through us can accomplish eternal results. And so how do we, what's the channel that allows God to work through us? It's trust. Or we like to say around here, faith. God, this morning I'm praying, boy, I want God to touch people's hearts that come to chapel and hear the scriptures. But God, I can teach them to the best of my ability, but unless you speak through me, nothing will happen. So God, I'm totally dependent on you speaking through the scriptures, your spirit, your word to the hearts of your people. We need God's favor in ministry. Things that are of eternal results only take place if God touches them. So God, you're the one who delivers. You're the one who gives victory. Would you touch? I just read this little biography on Eric Little, the Chariots of Fire. Have any of you seen that movie? And you remember that scene where somebody knocked him down and he got up and he won the race, even though it's a sprint? It's a true story. And it's actually a little bit more incredible than what we saw in the movie. And they interviewed him later and they said, "Eric, how did you do it?" He said, "The first half of the race, I ran as hard as I could. And then the second half of the race, I ran even faster." And he said, "First half of the race, I ran as fast as I could. Second half of the race, I ran even faster because of the Lord." To have supernatural results, God has to do it. We have to trust in Him. We need His favor. Second thing, look at verse 48. "Then it happened that the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David." And I love this. "David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine." Here's the second thing we learn if we're going to be prepared today by our problems. When you're faced with a problem, run toward it, not away from it. I cannot stress this enough. I found myself about 3 weeks ago, we were just facing just a number of different problems on campus. And hopefully you never heard about a single one of them. It's just the things we deal with sometimes as the president's cabinet. And so I was getting a little discouraged. And I was on an airplane flight coming back from Arkansas. And on that flight, God spoke to my heart. It says, "When you get off this plane, get after it. Attack the problem. Don't just, now understand, I'm all for prayer. If there's going to be eternal, everlasting results, God has to do it. But there's a second thing. You and I, we need to run toward the problem. And that usually is my default. What I have to make sure is I'm trusting in Him. Different ones of us err different ways. Some it's just focusing on just trusting in the Lord, and you never attack your problems or run after your problems. Attack your Goliaths. Some go immediately running off the problem, but they're not trusting in the Lord. If you run away from your problems, listen to this carefully. It's a little thing I've written down in my prayer book. If I run away from my problems, they will chase me the rest of my life. Can you think of nothing scarier than having Devin chasing me the rest of my life? You and I, if we run from our problems, they won't go away. They just get bigger and bigger, and they follow us. There's a third thing. Look at verses 49 and 50. And David put his hand in his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, so he fell on his face on the ground, to the ground. Now, how big a target was that? I don't know how far away David was. He may or may not have been within javelin range. But to hit a target that small, somewhere along the line, David had to practice with a slingshot. So here's the third thing. If you and I are going to be used by the Lord, we need to be prepared in three areas. We need to grow daily in our trust in the Lord. We need to have the attitude, I'm not going to run away from my problems, I'm going to run toward my problems. The third thing, I need to practice with my slingshot. I've seen this in my own life. I believe that God's given me the gift of evangelism. I have no doubt about that. First person I ever led to Christ was my mom, and it was before I became a Christian. Then, a few months after I became a Christian, I shared the gospel with Tony Fagan. She just cried and cried and cried and cried, and I was trying to explain my Bible. I was so nervous, I looked down. I couldn't read my Bible, and I found out later the reason I couldn't read my Bible was because my Bible was upside down, and I couldn't see that because I was so nervous. And finally, I kind of hollered at her. I said, you going to accept Jesus or not? And she did. Now, I met her 15 years later, and she was a youth minister. So then I started using tracts. But I felt like it was so impersonal. So I tried to practice with my sling, sharing the gospel. So I began using a bridge illustration. I found they were more personal. I just found they were a little bit more effective for me. But then I found like they weren't. I wasn't able to reproduce this new Christian sharing his faith very quickly because he thought I knew the whole Bible since I used about 10 verses in sharing the bridge illustration. So I went to a one-verse bridge illustration, which we call the one-verse method, John 3:16. But then I felt like I'm still not as effective as I want to be. So I practiced with my sling again and began asking questions. And so I started asking the guy, I said, okay, I know you're a Christian, but are you a cultural Christian or are you a biblical Christian? And I found that here in South Carolina, in the South, that works well. And they begin to think differently. We must practice with our sling. However God's gifted you, you need to use that gift and sharpen it and sharpen it and sharpen it and practice and practice and practice. So let's put all three of these together. And I've put them in different colors because I want you to see something. If we're going to be used by God, we must trust in the Lord, run toward our problem, and practice with our sling. So I've picked two or three verses here. Let's see how many we can go before we run out of time. Philippians 4:13. How many know that verse? I can do what? All things through Him who strengthens me. All right, look. Look at the green there. I can do all things. But why can I do all things? Because He strengthens me. Well, who strengthens me? It's through Him. Do you see that? I'm doing it. No, I'm not really doing it. It's through His strength in me. All of these work together. I can go after the all things, the Goliaths, because He's in me, strengthening me, but I'm the one that must do it. There's this balance. Look at another one. Look at Colossians chapter 20, chapter 1, verse 29. I'm the one who labors. You see that? Well, why am I able to accomplish this? Because there's this mighty power within me that works within me. Well, whose power is this? I'm striving according to His power. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm mightily attacking the giant. But I have to do something. Look at one more. 2 Timothy 4:17. The Lord, it starts out, the Lord stood with me and He strengthened me. Who strengthened me? The Lord strengthened me. Why? In order that through me, not through an angel, not God Himself, but through me, the proclamation might be fully accomplished and all the Gentiles might hear. Listen, go to this next slide. We need all three of these to be effective. And the problems you're facing today, the bears and the lions, are preparing you to trust more deeply in Him, to practice with your sling, to learn to attack the problem, so one day you can defeat the Goliaths in your ministry. I want you to, this is a homework assignment. I want you to take this diagram right here and think through, if you leave out any corner of the triangle, what does it lead to? This morning I was messing around with it like this. If I trust in the Lord and practice with my sling, but don't run toward my problem, I'm just pretending. If I trust in the Lord and run toward my problem, I'm presuming. But I haven't practiced with my sling. If I practice with my sling and run toward my problem, I'm prideful because I think I can do it without trusting and depending on Him. So let's go back to our question. Do you want to serve the purpose of God in this generation? In our first lesson, here's what we learned. Before God used David, Acts 13:36, God examined David. God does not see as man sees, because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So you prepare your heart. Today's lesson, before God used David, He prepared David. David had to be prepared. Well, how did God prepare him? He used the problems and frustrations and giants and bears and older brothers and lions. He used those in his life. So David could say, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear and from the paw of the lion will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. So here's the invitation. What one step do you need to take to prepare for the future service that God's called you to accomplish in your generation? What one step do you need to take, like David, to prepare for God using you to serve His purpose in this generation? Have you been trusting in the Lord? Let me ask it differently. Let me ask it negatively. Have you not been trusting in the Lord? Your prayer life is a thermometer of your faith. The calluses on your knees will show you the dependence in your heart. Or have you been avoiding your problems? It's so easy because they're scary. But if you run away from your problems, they will chase you the rest of your life. And are you practicing with your sling? You only have 4 years here. Are you squeezing every last ounce of preparation from your study in the Scripture, from your study in ministry skills, from your study of your professional areas of service? Don't waste any moment. Practice, 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 so you can hit the smallest of targets and knock down the biggest of giants. And so one day, like a Bill Harding, there'll be somebody that says, capital S, you served my purpose in this generation. Well done. Well done. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for these students. Lord, thank You so much that they desire to be used by You. Lord, thank you for the Bill Hardings that have come through the halls of CIU. Thank you for the Elmer Towns that have walked this campus. Father, I pray that you would use, there are hundreds of students here in this auditorium. Father, I pray that you use each and every one of them to accomplish great things for the living God that we all serve. In his Son's name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.